independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
We don't know what James Comey is going to say until the words come out of his mouth, but there are reports that he will stop short of accusing the president of trying to obstruct justice. Might we fall into a situation here, Chuck, where we're talking about the legal definition of obstruction versus the emotional definition of obstruction?
The emotional definition of obstruction. Emotionally, James Kennedy, the man we call Jim, at Righty Jim. Emotionally, Jim, have you ever been obstructed in your justice in any way, shape, or form?
Chad, that's kind of a private thing, and I'm not really sure I feel comfortable in a safe spot where I can go into that right now.
Jim Kennedy's here from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research, and that was yesterday morning, Matt Lauer talking to Chuck Todd, and it was, there was a lot of words like hope and emotional, and I thought in the James Comey, or I took it as, which really none of those are words that reach the level of high crimes and misdemeanors. Can we just now say that the impeachment is off?
Well, it's off if you're looking at this thing rationally. If you're looking at it from a person who's got fully on Trump derangement syndrome, no, now you're just more angry because you thought you had something that you could really sink your teeth into, and Comey fed them at the proverbial Hillary nothing burger. So I think they're just more irritated than anything else right now, and they're just going to double down their efforts to prove that Trump is illegitimate, irrational, mentally incompetent, picks bad ties, has a bad hairdo. I don't know. Pick your choice.
You talk about it's not for some of the unemotional. This is Houston Congressman Al Green.
And I've concluded that, as a result, articles of impeachment should be drawn. I have engaged in the process of drafting articles of impeachment. My articles of impeachment are being reviewed. And at some point, if no one else does, I will file articles of impeachment to impeach President Donald J. Trump.
I love the part. It's like, okay, if nobody else does it, I'll do it. But like, if somebody else comes for it, it's fine. But if I got to, I will. But the insanity of a congressman, you know, in one of the biggest states in the land, who has been very loud recently on the floor, to think that I'm going to draw it up as a just in case. I'll put it right here on the corner of my desk. And if nobody gets to it, then I'm like, oh, yeah, I thought today was impeachment day.
Yeah, it's kind of like, you know, I'm going to make sure I got that 35-cent coupon in the store, and I got a set of articles of impeachment in case we ever need one with Trump. It's just absolutely ridiculous. I would really have expected Maxine Waters to be the person that was going to draw him up, because she has become the queen of the left as far as the Trump impeachment. Though the last time she was on MSNBC, she clearly stated that she doesn't really have any grounds, but she just thinks she should just impeach Trump on general principle because he's Trump.
Which, last time I checked, Jim, in this country, you're going to need some grounds, and you're going to need some proof. It was an interesting day yesterday. Comey did what Comey, I thought he was going to do.
I was honestly concerned that you might lie about the nature of our meeting, and so I thought it really important to document.
He lied, said Comey, about the president. He documented stuff. After watching all of this yesterday, what struck you the most as, what moment?
Oh, I think easily for me was Comey admitting that he leaked a federal document to his friend, to the New York Times, and the Loretta Lynch trying to explain to him the difference between what an investigation is or isn't when you're investigating a presidential candidate.
Now, in fairness to Comey, he said, I didn't follow
Correct.
What she said. In fairness to Comey, I think people are going to, well, why are you talking about it? Because that should be on Lynch. That shouldn't be on Comey. He said that, and people say, well, it's a federal document. And today the Senate people, you know, they said, hey, you know what, if there's any way you can get your friend to give us back all that stuff, we can look at it. And a lot of people are saying, well, he's a private citizen. Well, he wasn't. It was on FBI stuff, which makes it a document that they have. So I found the leaking side thing too, but that Lynch thing, I tried to explain to people today, before you get too excited, he already said, I wasn't going to go that way. I knew that was a bunch of bunk.
Right, but it's interesting that actually throw her under the proverbial bus on that one. He didn't have to go there. He could have just let that go and slide it by and said that he was advised on, he chose to go on the investigation. But no, he basically, you know, took her through under the bus and ran over her.
Yeah, that was amazing. Because I think that I'm waiting here on all the talking head shows across the land for somebody to go, did the lady who met with the former president on the tarmac in Phoenix, who is supposed to be the one deciding whether or not they're going to prosecute the lady that's running for president, who happens to be her husband, and she said it's not an investigation, it's a matter. Are we going to just skip that? Because that, to me, sounds like real potential issues comparatively, because those were orders that were real. They weren't perceived. They were, hey, this is what we're going to call it.
Right. I have a couple of liberal friends who emailed me the day before going, don't you understand what obstruction of justice is? I go, yeah, it's when the former president gets on a plane with the current attorney general. Oh, by the way, the former president's wife is running for president, and tells her that you're not going to prosecute my wife while she's running for president. That's obstruction of justice.
So when I looked at this all this yesterday, and I watched the whole thing, as to, you know, what do you say? Was it how many people? 19 million? 19 million people watched it. That did not count online. Online, I watched it on Twitter. God knows how many people online. A million short of the inauguration? So that's a huge number for any kind of political thing. I mean, most of these talking head shows, and if we were between 500,000 and a million people watching it, but a middle-of-the-day show on a Thursday to have 19 million, and in truth, you could probably put another 15 million on top, probably somewhere between 25 and about 35 million people viewed that yesterday, which was massive when you think about it. But when I watched all, I didn't learn anything new that I didn't already think I knew. Minus the whole I leaked the stuff, which was, whoa, and we'll talk about that in a bit. But it was, if you believed he was, a bad guy, Trump, you still think he is. And if you believe that he didn't do anything wrong, you still didn't think he did anything wrong. Nothing really changed.
No, not really. I think that was interesting, though, that Comey, along with throwing Loretta Lynch on the bus, threw the mainstream media under the bus by claiming that all of their conspiracy theories about Trump and Russia were just pretty much nothing was there on them. So, it was interesting that, as he said, those who know don't generally say, and those that generally say don't know, type of thing. So he was basically calling out the media, the New York Times, ABC, CNN, as with all of these conspiracies on Trump, was like, you guys had nothing. We're not going to call you up and tell you you got nothing, but you had nothing.
Yeah, and it's funny because they're still trying to figure out a way to make this thing work, and they're trying to, because they went all in. That river card wasn't what they want. And they're like, well, wait a minute here. Maybe we should have got cards before that. But when this guy says you got nothing, that's when you have to go, huh?
The assumption of the critics of the president, of his pursuers, you might say, is that somewhere along the line in the last year, the president had something to do with colluding with the Russians, something to do with helping hand, encouraging them, feeding their desire to affect the election in some way, some role they played, some conversation he had with Michael Flynn or Paul Manafort or somewhere. And yet what came apart this morning was that theory.
That theory came apart. And that theory came apart. And it came apart in front of everybody's eyes, but nobody is letting go inside the world of, there was no collusion. It was none of that stuff. They're still not letting go of the mainstream media.
No, absolutely not. And like I said, I even talked to my liberal friends today who are completely, they don't understand why the handcuffs haven't been put on Trump now. He clearly lied. He clearly, they clearly is being investigated by Mueller now. And everybody in the White House is connected to Russia. They're all going to jail. They're going to somehow arrest Putin, too, I guess. I don't know. But they're just absolutely convinced that it's just a matter of now Mueller finishing up the investigation before Trump's, perp walked into the federal building in Washington or something.
844-DIG-CHAD. That's the number to call. 323-538-2423. That's the text line. You got questions for Jim at Righty Jim. You can follow me always at Chad Benson Show. We got so much stuff still to talk to, still to touch on, when it comes to all of this stuff that's taken place yesterday and this past week or so, when it comes to, because there was other big things that happened, and we're going to touch on that, including Dodd-Frank and the repeal or the replacement of that, which I think is massive. We've got so much more still to get to. Jim's going to be with us for the entire hour. 323-538-2423. That's the text line. It's Chad Benson Show.
On a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 sucks and 10 rocks, welcome to Talk Radio's 11. It's the Chad Benson Show.
These guys are 11.
There might be corroboration for our conversation. There might be a tape. And my judgment was I needed to get that out into the public square. And so I asked a friend of mine to share the content of the memo with a reporter.
That is James Comey, former FBI director, who admitted yesterday that he's leaking.
Heard that now?
Yeah, that's he's leaking. Poor Jim, he's leaking. 6'12" and he's leaking. Hey, God, that is that was a revelation that he was the leaker. And you know, look, okay, I understand why you might do that with the Clintons, right? Like in case I show up dead.
Yeah, exactly.
Please take this to the. I get that. But when it comes to, I just found this. It seemed like there was a plan all along.
Well, I'm confused by it because he says, because his comment is, well, I thought there might have been a tape. Okay, well, wouldn't the tape pretty much, well, did you think they were going to doctor the tape before they turned it loose or something?
Yes.
I mean, the tape is 100% proof of what went on in that conversation, far more than whatever you wrote down. Because it's actually your voice, you know, various voices. And like you said, unless they thought they were going to doctor the tape, then I don't understand why he had to release this document. And he could very well become, you know, the former director is also known as federal inmate 1247637.
You know, when that whole tweet came out that there better not be a tape, James Comey, I took it as Trump thought James Comey might have been spying on him or might have been listening in or bugged him. Not the that that's the way I took it. James Comey took it as he taped me. I don't get that. It doesn't even. But you know what? We all hear and see different things.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I personally would have thought that Trump was just trolling him because it's just Trump and he just didn't like the outcome and he just was going to just try to make the guy squirm as much as he can because, well, that's a negotiation tactic and Trump is the art of the deal.
He definitely is the art of the deal. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research is here. And as we talk about yesterday and the way this whole thing broke down, there was no obstruction of justice. He even said, look, you know what, Trump even said, go further, find out who these satellite people were. I don't think Jim Comey lied, though. That's the way I look at it is I think both guys feel like they had the truth. It may look different. It may sound different. You saying something, and, you know, you're the president of the United States. If you ask somebody to do something, you could say, you're putting the pressure. It doesn't matter. Just you're going to feel the pressure whether he is or isn't because he's the president.
No, absolutely. And it's, you know, I can understand where you can make a case for why Comey would have thought that he was trying to obstruct justice. Trump was being, I mean, from my interpretation, Trump was being Trump by, you know, the loyalty part. Like, look, you know, the guy's already been fired. He's already been, you know, he's already lost face as it is. Can you just let it go? I mean, the guy's already paid the price for it. Do you continue need to go down there and actually prosecute him for any potential crimes? Let him go away. You know, he's going to be out of the public light forever and just let him go quietly live his private life.
Which is just not going to happen. That one of the things, as I watched all this yesterday, I was taken back a bit by the leaking side of things. Because it makes you think, okay, are there others in the FBI that are doing it? Second thing I did is I was definitely taken back by the whole, you know, Loretta Lynch thing. But the other thing was, is Flynn's in some trouble.
Well, apparently it is. Yeah, apparently Flynn is not quite as innocent as it was. And there may have been some issues where Trump and the team may have known more than they're letting loose on what Flynn had done or what Flynn might have done that it might get him in trouble. Because we already know that he had improperly taken money from a foreign nation before. And that's part of the reason why he was, quote unquote, lying to Trump. But remember, don't forget, the reason why Flynn may be in trouble is that he was basically being taped on phone calls. And that's how Trump knew that what he had said was different than what he told Trump because somebody released the transcripts of the phone calls which he was on that were being taped, and they're not supposed to basically be transcribing when an American is on, only when the foreign person is on.
And then he was unmasked.
And then he was, well, that's what I mean, he was unmasked when that was happened.
Yeah.
So there are some questions there that need to be investigated. While he may have done something wrong, the fact that anybody thinks he has done anything wrong in the public is because he was improperly taped and then unmasked.
And Trump and them reiterated on numerous occasions, the reason he's gone, first and foremost, before all of this other stuff started coming out, is because he lied to the vice president. And they probably knew after that they canned him, that stuff was coming out afterwards. And, you know, but he lied to the vice president was the big real death knell in his. Now, he wouldn't have been able to stay on based on any of this stuff. But the lying to the vice president is a real.
Right. Because remember, what did Trump ask for? He wants loyalty. And that's not loyal. He wants to know that, like you said, he can look across the table, sum the guy up and know, yeah, this is a guy I want on my team. But obviously lying to the vice president, his number one guy, means, no, this isn't a guy I want on my team.
And as I tried to, you know, as you explain that to people, if you know people from East Coast, you know, people who are there are just certain people that do business in a certain way. And Trump is one of those people. And the political etiquette and the D.C. etiquette, he doesn't follow that. And he likes to size people up. It the way that when I watched this yesterday, they all made it seem like, why are you talking to me? You should never be talking to me. We shouldn't even be in the same room together. We should never know each other. It's like, well, wait a minute here. That's insane.
That's government protocol. And just like, you know, the thing with letting Flynn go, it's like in business, if he fires a guy and he turns out that the guy had stolen $20,000 from him, he may tell the guy, give me the money back, and then say, look, we're not going to prosecute you because we already fired you. You've already been scandalized. You have to give the money back. You don't have to, you know, we don't have to prosecute you. It's the same thing where Trump was going with Flynn. But yeah, and we're going to have to see what else comes out on what exactly did Flynn do or not do that Trump knew about when they let him go.
Jim Kennedy's with us, Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. We still have so much to touch, Jim. We're just getting started. I want to talk about Mueller, Comey, a lot of this stuff, because I'm curious about how this thing's going to be handled from here on out and what other things are going to come out along the way, because it's not going anywhere. You can text the program. A lot of people are texting in. They got their questions. Feel free to do so. 323-538-2423. 323-538-2423. Chad Benson Show is where you go to Facebook. You like it. At Chad Benson Show is the Twitter. You follow Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research at Righty Jim. Simple and easy. More with Jim Kennedy straight ahead. Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thoughts and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
That is the Chad Benson Show. We were just laughing about this little ditty that Trump said today.
So he said those things under oath. Would you be willing to speak under oath to give your version of those events?
100%.
That is Trump's lawyer hitting the ground. You're killing me, Larry! It is Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research is here. What in God's name is I know what he's doing, because this is the guy he is. He knows he didn't do anything wrong. He wants the world to know it, and he's going to go as far as he can to prove it because he's sick and tired of it. And there's something to that. Remember, we've talked about Michael Jackson paying off people to go away, Roger Ailes, all these kind of people. There's something to somebody saying, hey, you know what? I'll go to the mat to show you that I'm telling the truth.
Yeah, there's a long list of things you don't want. Intestinal flu, flying United Airlines, getting gout. Okay, being under oath for federal prosecution is one of those things. You do not want that. You do not volunteer to do that. I'm pretty sure that they are hiding all the sharp objects from his attorney right now, because he definitely wants to kill himself after hearing Trump do this. I'm joking, folks. But seriously, you do not want to do this. You do not want to volunteer to go under oath for a federal questioning, because there are so many things that you can slip up on. And especially if you're Donald Trump, the man who has a problem sometimes remembering the exact truth and not exactly what the truth is in his head. He's an expert marketer, and marketers tend to exaggerate reality and the truth sometimes. He may think he's the biggest brand in the world, but in reality, he probably isn't.
He's the fisherman, perfect fisherman telling story. I caught a great white shark today, guys. It was a 12 hours of battling, and then you find out, well, you caught a big tuna. Yes, you caught a fish. That's not a lie, but it's a tuna, And it's not a great white shark, so you've stretched the truth a bit.
Yes, and it was 2 hours, not 8 hours, and yes, exactly. And it wasn't 1,200 pounds, it was 400 pounds. But still, yeah, Trump, again, it's not that Trump lies. He just likes to make exaggerations on things. It's going to be huge. You know, more people watch my inaugural than Obama's inaugural. I mean, things that oftentimes things, I mean, that you could probably actually prove. But most of the stuff Trump does is not provable things. I'm the greatest president. I've got the best brand. My hotels are 100%, you know, perfect. Everybody loves staying at. You're going to love it. You're going to love the wall when it gets built. All those things. Not a guy you really want to stand up in front of a federal prosecutor and let him fire questions at you with. Not a good idea.
Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research is here. Jim, we moved from that to it was evident yesterday with Comey that he not only CYA'd himself, but he the badge and the organization of the FBI is vitally important to him. He has massive respect for it. He wanted to protect it. And you know, I think that some of that had to do with the fact, too, of what took place on that tarmac, that he doesn't want the FBI. This just wasn't this past several months with Trump. This was over the last several months with all that took place that he felt that the FBI is getting a bad rap and he wanted to protect it.
Yeah, that's true. But then again, how do you protect the honor of the FBI by leaking a document? That's where I kind of, I mean, I agree with you up to that point, but it's kind of like, yeah, I don't quite feel where he's consistent at that point. And he also started to sound like a guy who got fired and was, you know, was
a little bitter.
Was grievous about how he'd been terminated, was not happy about it, and was going to make sure that he explained the differences between him and his employer.
There's a great article in The Independent today, and it says the two things we learned from yesterday's testimony is that Trump is an amateur and James Comey has a martyr complex.
Yeah, I think I actually read part of that article while I was looking for British election results yesterday. And yeah, and it's just, it's, you know, Trump is not a politician, so Comey's not going to be used to dealing with him. He's Trump. He's not left. He's not right. He's Trumpian. And he doesn't have the call. He doesn't necessarily go by the etiquette that everybody does. And again, like I said, I don't think he intentionally is trying to mislead Comey or lie to Comey. Because he even told him, look, I want to find the leakers. And he said, if someone did something wrong in my administration, go ahead and, you know, prosecute them and get rid of them. I don't want them. And I feel the same way. If somebody's done something wrong in Trump's administration, investigate it and prosecute them. I don't want criminals working in the White House.
Talking to Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research, at Righty Jim. He's here with us every single Friday. You know, I was trying to explain today to a couple people that think of this. If you're a basketball player and you know you're going to go in the first round and you got everything in the world going for you, and then they find out there's an investigation going on from a strong-armed robbery with a bunch of your teammates, and you're dragged into that investigation, and they say, look, you are not a person of interest, but we can't clear you. Even though you're not a person of interest, we're not looking at you. We don't think you've done anything wrong, but we can't comment it any further, and that cloud hangs over you, and now all of a sudden your stock and your draft stock dropping. Teams are starting to think, who are we getting involved with? That's what I feel is going on. That's what that whole cloud thing was to me is, hey, this cloud is hanging over me because you guys, everybody's thinking I've done something wrong. And the truth is, you've already said I've not done anything wrong and there's no collusion. You haven't found anything. Just come out and say it. Well, we can't.
Yeah, no, that was interesting, too. It was that part was like all of this, all these conspiracy theories about Trump being investigated. There was nothing there. He was not being investigated. Though if I talk to the left today, they'll say, well, you know, that's being passed on to Mueller now, and he's going to dig into it and really find the truth, because evidently Comey just couldn't find the truth because he didn't try hard enough, or I don't know why.
And he had to leak everything so he could get a special investigator to come in. And that's one of the things I want to talk to you about. This whole thing, he spoke to Mueller before he went and testified. They are obviously friends.
Yes.
Both of them had and held the same job, and they hold it in high esteem. They understand politics extremely well. It is, and you wonder, because again, it's a very political place. Are you going in to find out the truth, or are you going in there to exonerate your friend and to go after somebody? And that is my thing. I look at collusion now when you look at Mueller and them being as tight. That's not independent to me.
It could be, but it could also, I could also look at it a different way that he may feel, Mueller may feel that Comey's kind of dishonored the FBI by leaking that document, that Mueller never would have done something like that. And then maybe he watched it and said that, you know, he sounded a little whiny. And while you're my friend, I'm not necessarily going to agree with everything you did there. And, you know, I'm going to basically go down the straight and narrow. I'm not going to necessarily have a grudge to or axe to grind. And if there's stuff there, I'll go look into it. But if there's not, I will clear the president and whoever else is involved, and the nation can move forward.
And, you know, it's just one of those things where that document leaking and the whine, like the whininess was very like, well, I don't know why I didn't say it to him at the time. You know, it's like, dude, you're 9 feet tall. You know, well, he's in front of me, and he's just, I don't know why I didn't say I should. Why didn't I? You know, and I think that Marco Rubio did a good job there. It's like, well, why didn't you say some at the time? I didn't, you know, I was shocked by the whole thing. And that's happened to all of us, right? Where somebody said something so absurd, but why didn't you say anything? It's like, I was shocked that came out of his mouth. But I'm just, I feel like, to me, I think that the Mueller thing is, and this whole thing with Jeff Sessions, too, because, man, Sessions and him obviously are not in a good place. And if Flynn wouldn't have gone, and he already hasn't lost somebody, Sessions, I think, he would have took that resignation to say, get the hell out of here.
Yeah, that's interesting because, I mean, Sessions was the guy that backed him the first, and that's why he's got that job, because he was one of the first guys to jump on the Trump train. I mean, he was the first senator to jump on Trump, jump on Trump's train when he started running. And, you know, without him, you could easily say that Trump might not have become president. I don't know if Trump necessarily agrees with that, but that's something you could definitely say. So I don't know what it is. Sessions trying to, you know, ingratiate him with the ways of Washington, like you talked about earlier, about basically knowing somebody having somebody on your side that can point out the problems in Washington and who the people to trust and not trust are. And maybe that is Sessions, and Trump just isn't listening to it and wanting to hear that. That's too much swampy for him. He wants fresh ideas, doesn't really care about it. He figures he can deal with it his way and be successful with his style. So, yeah, it's not a good thing because that's a serious position. That's not a guy you really want the White House fighting with. You don't want him fighting with the AG.
Absolutely not. Jim Kennedy's with us, Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research, at Righty Jim. Jim, you travel. How many miles a week do you think you drive?
Oh, probably 300-400.
Dude, you got to get CarShield.
I do.
Extended coverage. It's amazing. CarShield gives you the absolute best in everything when it comes to protecting your car, watching out for your car, 24/7 roadside assistance. They get you a rental car should something happen to your car. Should your car break down, your engine, who knows what is, water pump. I don't even know what 90% of the stuff is inside of an engine or inside of the car anymore. All the electronics, a fuse, a sensor, I don't know. It's expensive. It's super expensive. With CarShield, you don't have to worry about that. You pick your mechanic. You take it there. You say, here, fix my car. And guess what? CarShield does the rest. They will deal directly with your mechanic of your choice, not theirs, your choice. CarShield's administrators have paid close to $2 billion in claims already to help you save yourself thousands. Potential car repairs get covered by the ultimate in extended vehicle service protection, and it is the ultimate. Do it before it's too late. Call 800-CAR-6100, 800-CAR-6100. Mention code Benson or visit CarShield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. That's CarShield.com. Code Benson saves you 10%. A deductible may apply. More with Jim Kennedy as we wrap it up. Straight ahead, Chad Benson Show.
Fresh farm to table. This is the Chad Benson Show.
Wrapping it up. Beautiful Friday. Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research here. A whole week, all this stuff's going on. Something happened yesterday that I thought was great for the financial climate of this country and our economy, which was Dodd-Frank. Being gutted and something new coming. Of course, the left will scream about it, and it still has to be worked out. Once again, it goes off into the rabbit hole that is the Senate, and we'll see what happens. But I don't think people understand that, you know, Dodd-Frank was put out there after 2008, after the crash, that we're going after Wall Street, no more too big, all these kind of things. And what it ended up doing is it put so much pressure on all these banks and financials companies that they ended up essentially making them bigger and stronger than they ever were.
Yeah, I don't think it exactly got the outcome they wanted on that. And it was it might have just been a little bit of a knee-jerk reaction to a bad situation, obviously, but something that you need to be thought through And there's a lot of politics behind, if you really want to start digging into what caused the crash of 08 or the Great Recession of 08, because of various factors that were involved in lending policies and things that go back probably as far as 15 years and internet bubbles and easy money of the early 2000s and things like that. So I think they were more eager to say, look, we stood up and did something rather than actually finding the right solution to the problem.
Now, when you know, you talk about the whole thing that happened in 2008, and it's everything in politics and everything that the government does is always a knee-jerk reaction. It's they react. They very rarely do they think forward. And, you know, Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac, individuals as well as big institutions, everybody had a part to play in this, because if you know who you were in the financial world that were really using the robo-signatures and all of these kind of things, but you also know that you are making $12 an hour and you can't afford a $700,000 home.
Yeah, no, yeah. In that case, yeah, you're absolutely right. That's simply ridiculous, and that was happening. And you were getting people that were basically, you know, everybody was getting a no doc loan, a no documented loan,
110%. So you were getting, you know, you're buying a $400,000 house, and yeah, you're getting, you know, $440,000 on top. You know, you're getting $40,000 to play with. You go out and you buy all kinds of stuff because you think tomorrow, Jim, my house is going to be worth $600,000. I'll sell it and then I'll move up.
Or even if I lose my job, I can just borrow against the equity because I got $200,000 equity in 2 years. I'll have. And those people are doing that too. They're borrowing against the equity on the house, and when the bubble burst, there was no more equity and no more way to pay the bills. So yeah, so it was a disaster in many ways.
Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research is here as we talk about that this week in politics, and everything was about Comey, 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 Comey. But when you look at all of this being about Comey, when you look at all of this stuff, yes, okay, this new thing got done with the Dodd-Frank. I don't know what this new thing's called. I forgot it already because I know it's going to be something new when it gets out of the Senate, and it's not going to look like anything. But we still have health care out there. We still have taxes out there. We still have a budget out there. We still have the wall not being built or immigration not being addressed. We still have a lot of things that are out there that haven't been touched, and there's not a lot of time because they're not working a lot from now on the rest of the year, and I find that to be extremely frustrating.
And as the year ends, we're going to start moving into the 2018 election, and they're going to start gearing up with less time in the, you know, less time in Washington, more time back in the districts, especially for the congressmen. One thing that was actually released this week, which was interesting, it got traction on Monday, and then obviously it all became all Comey all day, was Trump was introducing an infrastructure bill. And he's got an infrastructure program that he's working on, which is really interesting because it's kind of a private-public mix type of thing where it's not just the government throwing money at it. It's also going to have some private sector money thrown at it and some VC money. I think he got some of that money out of the Saudis when he was over there a couple of weeks ago to commit, I think, like $100 billion or something towards this, maybe only $20 billion. But it'd be interesting if that ever comes back up again to see if that gets any traction, because infrastructure really is a large problem. The stuff you mentioned, too, is obviously stuff that is important, but it's also stuff that Trump talked about in the election. Until this cloud, though, of Mueller goes away, there's not going to be any sort of immigration reform. There's not going to be taxes. The Senate will probably, you know, muck away with coming up with a health care bill, but they know until this goes away that it's not going to really happen. So until the Mueller cloud goes away, we're going to pretty much have a summer of leaks and innuendos going around on what Mueller's going to find or not find.
You know, you talk about the health care, and I've been very frank. I've got some Republicans that I know, and, you know, off the record, they'll say, look, no matter what we do, it's not changing anything. It's not going to change anything enough that people are truly going to feel that thing. Some people will pay less, some people pay a little bit more, but overall it's going to be different name, same problems, healthcare still rising, because we're not addressing the things that need to be addressed.
Right. We're not. All we're addressing is access to health insurance. We are not addressing the cost of health care. We're not addressing what it costs to get an MRI. We're not addressing what it costs to get a heart bypass. We're not looking at anything in any sort of way, in any sort of competitive environment, that basically finds a way to reduce those costs. All we're talking about is telling the guy that's paying $200 a month for his health insurance with an $8,000 deductible, you know what? We'll get a way to cut that down to $4,000 a year. That's what we're going to talk about, as providing them access to health insurance, not access to health care or reducing the cost of health care.
Jim Kennedy from the Kennedy Institute of Public Policy Research. We got about a minute or so here. You look back at this week. Your big takeaway from Comey, from the testimony, if there was one thing that truly stood out when it came to Trump and him, what is it?
That the left and the mainstream media have spent 5 months trying to convince the American public that Trump was colluding with Russia all throughout the run-up to the election, and it turns out there wasn't an investigation, and there was absolutely nothing there at the end. Though people who knew that were not really willing to admit that until they were put under oath and required to admit that.
Yeah, it's crazy. It is crazy, but it's a week of politics, and it's a week that will continue next week. I'm sure there'll be some new scandal over the weekend, some new tweet, something that twists somebody's mind and makes people go crazy. Follow along with us always at Chad Benson Show, ChadBenson. Go like us on Facebook. Follow Jim at Righty Jim. You can email the program always, Chad@ChadBensonShow.com. Another solid week in the books for Anthony, for Jim, for I believe Jay now is sitting out there, and for the on the way to Toledo, Phil. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Night, night, Jack. Boom, right here.